Some Kind of Hell on Earth. A Tim Reaper novel. Chapter 1. Charlotte disappeared the strip mall. Poof. Pizza joint along with a convenience store, a beauty salon, gone. To where? I had no idea. And everything stopped, cars, trucks, pedestrians and yapping little dogs peeing against fire hydrants. I thought I had seen it all. As a former Grim Reaper and real-time borrower of the bodies of the recently deceased, I had been Deathside's constant companion. Having been there and done that over and over and over since before the beginning, I wanted out. Since then, I had seen and fought asshole demons. I watched an old Bulgarian man become young again as a reward for saving Charlotte. I even stopped a serial-killing angel with a hate on for its own kind. What I had never seen, though, was my favorite pizza joint and the rest of a strip mall simply vanish into thin air. Did I mention Charlotte is God? So, yeah, she can disappear any damned thing she wants. The fact is, the poor kid is the victim of a celestial body snatching that went south big time. The man with the big white beard, God version 1.0, wound up getting skewered on a holy sword held firmly in the hands of a newly minted angel who in life was a call girl I'd rescued from a French prick named Emile Vachon. Turned out the man with the big white beard was just a shell to contain super mega holy power because it flew out of the bearded one and right into Charlotte. Instant God in a little kid's body. Thanks for coming out. I can make it come back just as easily enough, said Charlotte as she lifted her left index finger maybe a quarter of an inch. I felt a rush of elemental force and the ground shook. My pizza joint along with the other businesses reappeared inside the hole in the ground that had been there less than a second ago. All that was frozen in place just moments ago started to get moving again. That's gotta hurt, I said as I pressed the pedestrian button. Being zapped in and out of existence. You do realize that human beings are just slushy meat bags, right? The universe is teeming with life, said Charlotte, this time using her adult voice. I know, weird. She switches back and forth between herself now and herself in the future or the past. It's a bit hard to keep up because the kid talks in celestial terms. Basically, stuff that I can't get my head around, a universe where anything can happen including disappearing infrastructure. Slushy meat bags notwithstanding. My phone bleeped, it was a text from Detective Sergeant Carol Sparks, supercop and ass-kicker of all things evil, supernatural or not. Two words, Magazine Hill. I replied to the text with a poop emoji. Charlotte wanted to tag along. What was I going to do? Say no to God? It was probably nothing. I figured bringing the kid along couldn't hurt since she knew all and saw all. We climbed into my luxurious Chevy Cavalier, and I turned the key. I could afford a better car thanks to my host bank accounts and credit line, but I liked to lay low. I still missed my pickup. Again, I borrow the bodies of the dead. The body I'd been wearing for a couple of years used to be an investment banker and cokehead. He kicked the bucket and I moved in. I looked at the kid. Is it bad? Charlotte raised an eyebrow and said nothing. Of course she knew. The Alpha and Omega sat in the blue passenger seat covered with coffee stains and cigarette burn marks. What the hell was she doing hanging out with a mook like me in the first place? Long story short, the kid lives with me. I'm her protector or bodyguard. Her father figure I am most definitely not, but Sparks tells me the little girl loves me and chose me to keep her safe. Why God needed someone to keep her safe was about a million miles over my head, but the kid needed me, and I wasn't ever going to let her down. Sparks is just the... Halfway up Magazine Hill is where you will find her, said Charlotte. She's probably going to be glad to see me and mad that you brought me along. Just so you know. Yeah, kid, I answered knowingly. Sparks is usually ticked off at me for something. Still, we got things done together. Some stuff exploded, but that's the nature of the business. You are an odd pairing, she said. You once escorted souls to either heaven or the abyss and you want to be a human. And, Ms. Sparks. A detective whose skills not only catch the bad guys, but also hit back hard against all forms of evil. And she cares, believe it or not. Even about you? Well, yeah, I mean, Sparks' life is a lot more interesting, I said, shrugging my shoulders. Wait, that's not what I was trying to say. I mean, she's right about 9 times out of 10 and she can kick the crap out of bikers, so, yeah. Badass. Carol Sparks is a warrior in her heart, future Charlotte said. Her mind is such that she will always find whoever or whatever she is looking for. And as we've seen, the lady isn't afraid of a thing. Possibly not even me. I glanced at the kid through the corner of my right eye. How can I assist you? She said innocently. You're the supreme being. Fear of deities comes with the territory. It's wise to always fear omnipotent beings that can disappear a strip mall. I created the men and women and all that is needed to construct a building, future Charlotte said. I can just as easily uncreate one and all its occupants. Again, over my head, I said as I spotted Sparks' new Ford Explorer's flashing four ways and I came to a stop. Sparks looked at her watch while sitting on the rear bumper with the back hatch above her head. I turned to the kid. Charlotte gave me a small push. "Tell Miss Sparks I said hi." I threw her a thumbs up and closed the door. It was cool and damp enough to give me a shiver, and I pulled up the collar of my greatcoat and lit a cigarette. I nodded to Sparks. "Your work, presumably." The detective pointed to the acres of dead wood and ash-colored landscape that had once been prime forest. At first glance, the area affected looked like a raging fire had roared through, leaving nothing but ash and charcoal. Except there hadn't been a fire. The grass was still the grass and trees were still the trees, but they'd been utterly drained of life. I was the only being on Earth that Sparks knew could devastate an area of forest and or kill all life in the sea for miles in every direction. All to provide me with the power needed to save my bacon and to destroy an army of attackers if necessary. I stepped off the shoulder and wandered into the dead land. I knelt down and placed both hands on the stunted and damp forest floor. I shut my eyes and reached deeply into my immortal essence when out of nowhere a fireball the size of a 10-pin bowling ball roared over my head and straight into the Explorer. The big SUV flipped over twice and ending up spinning like a top. Sparks was stuck in the open when another fireball blasted its way through the darkness aimed directly at her. She dove into the ditch and then got herself into a good firing position. I ran like hell to the Cavalier and threw open the back door on the passenger side. Another fireball lit up the darkness and exploded a few yards away from Sparks. "Get your car running," she bellowed. "As soon as I'm in, step on it." "Go," I shouted back as I climbed behind the wheel and started the little four-cylinder engine. I reached across the passenger seat and opened the door. Sparks raced out of the ditch as another fireball just missed taking out her legs. Her jeans were smoldering when she jumped in. I floored it, kicking up gravel from the front tires and pinging the bottom of the car. I kept driving until we reached Bedford, then I pulled over next to a chicken stand. "Who or what did you piss off, Reaper?" Sparks griped as she turned to face the rear seat. "Hi, sweetheart. Just lay low, can you do that for me, Charlotte?" How Sparks was capable of flashing a molten glare at me while smiling cheerily at Charlotte was one of her unique skills. "I wanted to come, Miss Sparks," 9-year-old Charlotte said earnestly. "Don't be mad, okay?" Sparks drew a deep breath and then nodded as she exhaled a little too shakily. That was new. "I'm not mad, sweetheart," she said Charlotte while throwing her own earnest look. "I have to remind myself sometimes of what you are." "Sparks," I said, placing a hand on her shoulder. 5 years ago she would have shot it off. "So, you know, progress. The dead land wasn't me. I don't know who it was. I'm not entirely sure who we ticked off that would compel them to wreck a pretty nice forest and then blast away at us with big-ass fireballs." Sparks threw a knowing look at Charlotte and said, "You probably know what this is about, right?" The kid shook her head and spoke in her grown-up voice. "Do you have any idea how many dark forces have plotted against heaven? Since the very beginning? It is eternal. Do you understand?" "Let's go back, Reaper," the detective said with a nod, this time sounding confident and ready to kick someone's ass. "I still need to report the Explorer and it wouldn't hurt if I were at the scene. Do you think the jerk who wrecked my new Explorer might still be there, because if so, I'm going to tear his face off." "Works for me," I snarled as we sailed past the flyover and down Magazine Hill into Burnside Industrial. I did a U-turn and in seconds we were stopped behind a completely undamaged Ford Explorer police interceptor with the engine running. Sparks jumped out of the car and the Explorer's rear hatch went up as if the SUV was expecting her. "Thank you, Charlotte," she said with an air of relief to her voice. The kid unbuckled her seatbelt and slipped out of the car. Her sandy brown hair was tucked neatly under a baseball cap. She'd grown an inch or so in the time that I'd known her. Sparks was in charge of the kid's wardrobe because if I were dressing her, she'd be in a trench coat with a pack of cigarettes in the left breast pocket. She wandered into the dead land and then pointed to a moss-covered boulder the size of a bus. "Over there. Behind the giant rock." Sparks and I headed to the boulder with Charlotte in tow. There was no sign of the pyromaniac until we saw the other side of the boulder. The ground was scorched and there were 8 bowling ball-sized rocks all in a neat row. "Whoever attacked us has some skill at turning rocks into molten fireballs," I said. "Not human," the detective replied. Sparks and I let that hang there for a few seconds, hoping Charlotte might offer a clue. The kid said nothing. I flashed some light on the ground. There were no footprints. Just gray and brittle dead land that still stretched a few hundred yards north of our position. I turned around and started back to the car. Charlotte followed alongside Sparks. "You both need to understand that what has been, what is, and what will be happen, because that's what they do," she said flatly in her grown-up voice. "It's why I cannot, for example, pull an innocent soul from the abyss. It's what you two are for. You both have experience in these kinds of things." I shrugged and said, right, so you're not a bulletproof vest or supercomputer with all the answers or anything more than what you are. Makes sense. Basically, she replied. Sparks opened her mouth to say something when the stench of hellfire and brimstone filled our nostrils. If you don't immediately throw up, it smells a bit like rotten diapers in a bonfire. We plugged our noses and in the distance a molten glow spit red hot slag onto the spent land surrounding it. It was there for a few seconds and then it was gone. It was long enough to get the stink of hell on everything. Charlotte turned on her heel and headed back to the Cavalier. Whatever that was picked a hell of a way make an exit, said Sparks. She knelt down and held her hand over the row of stones. She picked one up and then hurled it in my direction. It landed a few yard away. Heavy rocks, Reaper. Gotta be about 10 pounds each. Fired at us like cannon shot. Any thoughts on who it might be and why they decided to wreck the forest around here? I drew in a deep breath and took a last look around the deadland. They can zip in and out of Pitfalls Province easy enough. She blinked. Pitfalls Province. I nodded. Yeah. It's still hell. Fancy name for a scary place full of evil things that have the upper hand because now we're in their territory. You go in, get what you need, and get the hell out. You don't want anything following you out of there. Particularly a doomed soul. That's bad news. The best way to describe the place is a pocket dimension containing every dark thought and deed that ever was. There are entry and exit points for Pitfall if you know where to find them. Let's just call the place Hell's Preschool. Okay, why here and now? A bigger question when dealing with the forces of heaven and hell is this. Why not here and now? Sparks replied quickly. So we need to find a representative from the Abyss and get it to show us how to get in and out of this Pitfall's province. Accurate. This one sure as hell used a big damn lure to get us here, I said as my gaze shifted to the car and Charlotte. It wasn't interested in the kid. Just you and me. Sparks marched back to the Explorer. Right, standard operating procedure. Someone with a hate on for ex-Grim Reapers. How many nasty things out there hate you? Boatloads. I said, following closely behind. It's my effervescent personality. You have no personality, said Sparks. That really hurts, Sparks, I said, purposely trying to sound wounded. She drove away and flashed the Carol Sparks equivalent of a smile. That was progress.